The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perrault columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we have a company transitioning into production. I'm talking about Great Divide Mining from its Challenger gold mine north of Adelong in New South Wales. And listeners will remember that the company also has some interesting projects up in Queensland where it's looking for high-grade gold, silver and antimony. And bring us up to speed on just where the company is at the Challenger gold mine and the forward plans at the Queensland projects. We have the CEO with us today, Justin Haynes. G'day, Justin. Welcome to the podcast.
G'day, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Now, some news out of Challenger. You've just secured a gold concentrate offtake agreement. Tell us a bit about that and what it means for the project.
So a lot of gold projects choose to pour gold ore on site. We've chosen to go down the path of producing a gold concentrate. So we take at the moment 1 gram per tonne mullock and produce a 30 gram per tonne concentrate. So we're effectively concentrating the gold 30 times. And then we're directly selling that concentrate rather than taking it through to gold ore on site. So that means that it's a far cheaper and quicker process. There's no chemicals used on site, so there's no cyanide and acids and those sorts of things which you use in a CIP plant, and obviously a lot fewer personnel required. And that offtake agreement allows us to basically have that continuity of sale of that concentrate for the next year.
Right. And who is the offtake agreement with?
It's with an international commodity trader. We have to be, they're a fairly private business, so we don't want to put their name out there, unfortunately. But they're a sort of a mid-tier commodity trader based in Switzerland. So they're a very reputable business.
Okay. And they'll be shipping it out of New South Wales or somewhere else?
Well, so our concentrates are made at the mine at Challenger, and we truck it down to the Port of Melbourne. And in the Port of Melbourne, we have a packers there called Butler Freight. So they take our concentrate bags and then pack it in the shipping containers for us and send it off to the broker's yard in Southeast Asia. It's a different process to a lot of people use, but we can, like I say, from a commercial perspective, we can retain a lot of the gold value without a lot of the costs and a lot of the environmental overhangs of going through to Doré.
And it's a much speedier process for you to actually start earning some cash flow.
Absolutely. That's always been a key for Great Divide Mining, is that, you know, generating cash flow has been our aim since day one. So we listed August 2023 with four projects in Queensland. Those four projects were aligned to come through to production in a staged process where one small project would start first and basically pay the rent for the following projects. When the Challenger mine became available, we reshuffled that so that Challenger is our first production site, but we will be progressing with those other sites in the not-distant future.
Importantly, of course, you've moved to full control of the Challenger gold mine recently.
Absolutely. It's always good to have control of your destiny.
Yeah, much easier to make decisions, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And we enjoyed the time we had with the former owners, but it's a far simpler proposition to be on our own moving forward.
Yep. And they're focusing, I think, on high grade gold down in Victoria now, so they're happily chugging along.
They're knitting and we'll stick to ours.
Oh, good stuff. Now, is it possible at all, or have you given any indication of what production might be over the next 12 months or so?
Yeah, we haven't given any firm numbers to the market because we're adopting the crawl, walk, run sort of a strategy, in that we've taken over an old plant and we've rejigged it to go from being a cyanide plant and transitioned it to being a concentrate plant that uses gravity recovery means. So, but being an old plant, there's a lot of carryovers with historical electrical workings that have been degraded over time and those sorts of things. So we're currently running it at about 50% throughput capacity, but we'll slowly ramp that up over time. So we're targeting probably something in the order of that couple hundred ounces per month initially. we're producing that concentrate at the moment from historical mullock, which is the waste from the old miners. So it's going about 1 to 1.5 grams per ton. So we're currently processing that. While we're processing that, we are finalising the designs for a small open cut, which we hope to bring online later this year. And again, while we're producing from the open cut, we'll be reopening the old underground and moving to mine from that. Through time, through that process, we'll go from, a couple hundred ounces per month up to our nameplate. We're looking at that 25,000 ounces per annum sort of capacity once we've got the underground going. So at that, we've got about 5 years of ore ahead of us at that 25,000 ounce capacity, but there's a lot more to come out of Adelong. So we've basically got the old historical Adelong goldfield. We've got the entire old goldfield under tenement. The old mines pulled up at about 170 metres below ground surface because they were chased out by water. In the meantime, there has been very few drill holes done deeper than 170 to 200 metres. So we don't expect the ore to stop at that depth. We expect it to continue. We just have to drill more holes. So we think that this field is going to be one that you'll see us through for a lot longer than 5 years.
Historically, I think the field is said to have produced around 800,000 ounces at 15 grams a tonne, or roughly half an ounce a tonne. That's generally agreed.
That's the correct total number. So it's about 800,000 ounces total production. About half of that came from alluvials. So there's a lot of alluvial gold workings in Adelong and down the Grahamstown side. They even had some big gold dredges there back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But from hard rock underground mining, there was about 400,000 ounces produced there. And the average grades fed to the stamper batteries in the district was actually around about 30 gram per tonne average. So it's a nice high-grade ore. But the best part is that when they took out that 30 gram per tonne ore to send to the mill, they left behind anything that wasn't that high. So even stuff at 10 or 15 grams per tonne, they threw it back into the underground working. So all of that material is still there for us to come and collect again later and put it back through our plant.
So it's reef gold, is it? Or?
Correct. So we've got on the mining lease, we have five reefs, the main one being the old reef, or main reef they called it, and that had about 10 workings, 10 mines along the same reef, and that's the one that we're reopening. So Challenger is one ore chute inside that reef, but there's five or six other ones that we'll look at moving to after Challenger. And also on the mine lease is the Middle Reef, the Victoria Reef, the Currajong East and Currajong Reefs. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us and a lot of years of production in Adelong.
Now, the 5 years from a combination of mullock, the small open cut and eventually underground, I'm just wondering, do you have a fix on what tonnage of mullock is available to keep you going?
Yeah, so the previous workers on site have identified about 100,000 tonnes of mullock. So at the current rate, there's a couple of years of mullock available to us. But it's low grade. So as soon as we can bring the slightly higher grade, sort of 3 gram per tonne ore feed in from the open cut, we will. And then similarly, once we go underground, the ore rate doubles again. So the sooner we can bring those in, better. But we can still make money processing the mullock. At the current gold price is a fantastic thing for us. So making cash flow positive through processing mullock while we're developing the open cut and then the underground mines is just fantastic.
Yeah, and obviously current gold price helping things along.
Absolutely. May it continue to rise, shall we say.
That's right. Okay. So obviously you're allowed to mine the quote-unquote, the mullock dump there. I know in parts of Victoria, they're considered historic monuments and you're not allowed to mine them. So things are a bit different in New South Wales.
Yeah, so that's it. There are a couple of areas within the Adelong mines that we probably won't touch by choice because there's the historic Adelong mine ruins, which is sort of below our current mining operation. And above it, there is a big pile of mullock there. But we'll probably just ask the community that along whether they want us to take that mullock or whether they want to leave it there as a part of the exhibition of the former mine site that's sitting there.
And how far north of Adelong are you actually?
Oh, I think we're about a solid 2 kilometres north of Adelong. we're very proximal to the township, so we're very focused on keeping good community relations, keeping noise, dust, vibration, those sorts of things down as low as achievable. And we, you know, our full intention is to keep working within the community to make sure we're meeting their expectations.
Now, I should have mentioned at the start, and you touched on it, only listed in August 2023. Shares are currently trading at 35 cents for a market cap of around $24 million. Now, obviously on a pathway to 25,000 ounces a year, there's a bit of catch up the market has to do.
There's a lot of catch up. I mean, it's that history from August 2023 to now is something we're quite proud of, in that we've never been underwater in that time. And yeah, for a small cap, yeah, explorer when we listed, to move to, you know, cash flow in less than 4 years, it's a pretty astounding story.
Mm. So what do you think it will take for a re-rating to start occurring for the company?
I think, well, I'm hoping that the first re-rate will come when we receive our first check from our first concentrate sales. So that's obviously imminent. We transported our first shipment last week, so it's not too far away. So we're obviously hoping that comes good. But in saying that, if that doesn't, we're still going to be cash flow positive. And then when we open up the open cut and increase the production rate, yeah, that will hopefully also trigger a re-rate.
You're in New South Wales. Permitting for the open cut and resuming underground mining, is that a simple process, straightforward?
It's a very simple process for us, Barry, because it already exists. So the entire site went through an EIS and environmental protection licensing process back in the late 80s, which included open cut and underground mining, processing, and the sale of the remnant sands and quarry stone. So all of our waste products were even allowed for sale. All of that permitting's already been achieved many years ago, and it still stands today. It was an amazing site to come across, I can tell you.
Now, we've got a two steak knives job here, apart from Challenger and the pending cash flow from there. Let's go up to Queensland, where you've got a bunch of interesting projects. One that jumps out, the one in central Queensland, I think I'll get the pronunciation right here, Canambula, high-grade gold, silver and antimony. And you've had some encouraging IP outcomes. It's JV with Dart Mining?
Yes, that's correct. So Dart's farming into that project for us. Dart are very good explorers, and they have their own drill rigs, and they're very cost effective in their exploration. Our choice is that we wish to be developers and miners, so the synergy between Dart and Great Divide Mining is excellent.
They must like it because they've left Victoria to do it. So.
Exactly. So they've been drilling away up there and putting out some awesome numbers. The project's coming together very nicely. There should be some more news from the drilling results shortly coming out, and as I suppose there'll be results coming out for the next couple of months as they've just finished their drilling program, and then hopefully a JORC resource report come out with antimony, gold and silver.
Right. Does that project area have a history of gold, antimony, silver production?
Yep. So the main antimony area that we've actually been drilling is the Banshee mine workings, which were an historical antimony mine during the war, and all the way through to the 80s, they mined antimony there. It was all hand-picked antimony ore, so the hand-picked ore was 50 to 60% antimony. The rock chip results across the surface are 5 to 6% antimony, which is, really quite high, and that continues at depth, which is shown in the recent drilling. But that Banshee mine was part of the Hungry Hill workings, which are historic antimony and gold workings from the 1800s. Also on that same tenement area is the Perseverance mine and Burnett Squatter mines, which are part of the Hungry Hill working, part of the St. John's Creek goldfield workings, which again were 1800s goldfield. There's probably about 30 or 40 historical mines at Little John, and 6 or 8 mines at Hungry Hill. So there's, it's easy to find or when you know it's ready to be mined in that same spot.
It seems to be an overarching strategy of the company since formation, is to find old mines, give them some modern exploration and get them back into production ASAP.
That's it. That's our strong preference, is to go for those brownfield sites, because from an environmental perspective, yeah, they've already been degraded and we can improve that. But like you say, that they've already been mined, you know that there has been ore there. Generally, all waddies don't finish. The mines stop because of economic or groundwater or social issues, generally not because of a lack of ore. So picking those up and defining increased resources and looking at them slightly differently, so that, yeah, we are agnostic on size, for example. It doesn't really matter if it's 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 ounces of gold or gold equivalent, or 1 million ounces of gold equivalent. If it's commercially viable, it's still commercially viable. So we're keen to work on projects of any scale. As long as we know we can make money from them, that's what we're going to do. And those historic brownfield sites are the quickest, simplest ways of moving into production on those sites. Greenfield sites, typically 7 to 10 years to get them licensed. Our Yellowjack project, which is up behind Townsville, we're looking at about an 18-month development timeline for that site, which is, yeah, far easier.
Yep, that comes with a MRE resource.
Correct. So so Yellowjack has a 51,000-ounce resource estimate on it. We were drilling that in 2023. We stopped when we got to 51,000 ounces. It's probably double or triple that there. But the site was never going to be able to support its own infrastructure as a standalone operation. So we stopped drilling then and waited for our neighbours to catch up. And now Native Mineral Resources has purchased and refurbished the Blackjack processing plant, down in Charters Towers. And we've got an agreement with them to buy direct shipping ore from Yellowjack. So all we do is quarry the ore and put it in a truck and send it down to Charters Towers. And we have a processing agreement with them. And it'd be a very simple operation for that reason. And for us, cheap, because we don't have to pay for the process infrastructure.
Very same sort of deal that we're seeing, dozens of junior WA gold producers do.
Exactly. I mean, WA has the added advantage of there being clusters of mines and operations in a similar area with a number of processing options. Queensland's sort of a bit more sparse in its distribution. So Charters Towers obviously is one area where there's a number of processes, a number of mines. A lot of other mines and gold resources that have been identified are a long way from a processor that will toll treat.
How far is Yellowjack from Charters Towers?
It's only about 160 k's on the highway, so it's not too bad. Once and that road can take double road trains quite easily, so the haulage isn't onerous.
Okay. So what stage are you at there? Finalising mining lease or mine planning?
Correct. We've finished mine planning and we're finalising the environmental groundwork, and then we'll shortly be submitting the mining lease application and environmental authority application.
And Queensland state seems to be very pro-mining at the moment.
Absolutely. It's an easy place to work at the moment, which is great.
Just touching on Devil's Mountain, also in Queensland, where you're, defining a gold resource?
Yeah, so Devil's is probably one of our bigger projects. And it's principally a gold project, but there is a few copper hits in amongst it as well. It's interesting that Devil's Mountain has a lot of similarities to the Gympie goldfields, and it's only 40 k's from Gympie, so it's very handy to get to it from Brisbane. But we think that it actually has a large resource potential there. So we're progressing fairly slowly on that site while we're focused on getting Challenger up and running. In the not distant future, we'll be spinning rigs on site and chasing up those potentials.
That's also got copper porphyry potential?
Correct. So the Gibraltar Rock porphyry system was drilled initially by Amoco back in the 70s, and they missed the main core of the porphyry, unfortunately. And with remapping and new geophysics, we now know where the centre of that porphyry is. The outer shell which they drilled still had up to 0.6% copper, so it was still relatively high copper, but it just wasn't continuous. But we now know that, so we know from their drilling, though, that that system is mineralized. There does have copper in it. So we've got some high hopes on that central porphyry core as forming up to hopefully into a nice resource in the future.
Mm. Yeah, 0.6% copper nowadays is, that's the ballpark.
Absolutely.
BHP get excited about 0.6 in the Andes, let alone Queensland. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm not sure you could do an antimeter or one of those very large-scale mines you do have in Chile in southeast Queensland, but I'm hoping for a smaller, higher grade so that we can cheaper on the capital and lower environmental impact.
For sure, for sure. Now, finally, I'm interested in your thoughts are on a PAC Partners put out a research note initiating coverage of the company with a buy recommendation and 12-month price target of 90 cents a share. What did you make of all that?
I think the work that the PAC Partners analyst did was fantastic. He spent a lot of time working with us through the project, obviously principally Challenger. But I think that the amount of risks that have been applied to bring it down to 90 cents, if you look at the unrisked valuation, that's the amount that we're actually targeting. So about double the 90 cents is what we're looking for.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, the production potential you outlined earlier, certainly that is achievable. So, Justin, fascinating story across both New South Wales and Queensland. So needless to say, we'll be watching with interest. Good luck with it all, and thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much, Barry.
Cheers.
The company featured on this podcast is a Stockhead advertiser at the time of publishing.